Hello again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I'm presenting to you some thoughts around some of the pieces of the Word of God today because they're very beautiful. Now, if you'll just come with me into the Gospel of Luke, you will read these words in the 10th chapter, chapter 10, and verses 18 through 22. Let me just set up the picture for you so that you can see Jesus has sent out 70 disciples, and they have had power over evil spirits. They have preached the word, and people have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior as a result of their preaching. They come back, verse 17 says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, this is a mouthful to think about, but in the ancient copies we read in this last verse that I read here, verse 22, many ancient copies of these words are, and turning to his disciples, he said, nobody really understands. All things are delivered to me, and nobody is understanding this. What we don't comprehend today is that all things are given to Jesus. All things that are created were created by him, and without him was nothing created. And we don't understand the power of God, and the revelation of the power of God in Jesus is colossal. Totally, completely, absolutely colossal. And so I want to share with you from these wonderful words of God that the commands of the Lord Jesus are not grievous. And we read this, really. Look at these things that Jesus is teaching his disciples. If you read in Romans and chapter 7 and verse 16, the apostle says, I consent to the law that it is good. Christ's laws are all acceptable. The wicked are under force. They can't accept the things that God has said through the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus says through his Holy Spirit in this age and day. A gracious heart sees a beauty and an equity in the commands of heaven and draws forth consent. You see, God says, I want you to trust me. My commands are not grievous. They just are not. The Lord Jesus said to the 70, I want you to go out and I want you to preach. I want you to, verse 9, heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He said, I want you to go and shake the very dust off your feet if it's necessary, if people won't receive you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. And then he goes on and says there are some woes to be considered. People who will not repent and will not come to Jesus, they must look at hell face on, verse 15. And then he says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Do you understand this sort of kaleidoscope of happenings, this falling down of the domino effect? If we despise the man of God, then we despise the God that sent him. And if we despise the God that sent him, there is no more appeal for that poor man. Be careful. When you hear the word of God being proclaimed, don't criticize. Don't be one of those that are full of criticisms, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. That's just a small thing. But rejoice rather that Jesus is the wonderful Holy Spirit that enters into us. Listen to him pray, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it so seemed good in your sight. How precious! See, the disciples weren't clever people. If you go into Acts of the Apostles, they took notice of the disciples that they were ignorant and unlearned men, and yet they spake these words of massive truth, and they persuaded thousands of people to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And it was an amazing thing that had taken place, a transformation that had altered their lives completely, completely. Oh, how precious is all of this. You see, it's not grievous to follow Jesus. If you'll go to Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 29, there are the commands of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is a simple thing. Learn about Jesus. My dad used to sing to us, tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Tales by the seaside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. He would sing that lovely old hymn, of which I've made an abbreviation. But how precious that became to me as the years went by. I would sing to some of the fellows in the army, and they thought I was crazy, but I didn't really care. I would talk to the fellows in the army, and I would tell them about Jesus that was always willing to listen, always wanting to help, always seeking to heal and to fix and to bless and to pour his spirit out, always wanting to understand mankind. There are some people who, well, I don't drink, they say, and so they condemn everybody that takes a glass of wine. That's a bit far-fetched, don't you think? Or maybe you don't. I don't drink. Never have. But the point I'm making is we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't want to be a group of people that understand people but don't understand Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. Let me be yoked with you. Now, the picture of the yoke is that the two bullocks would be yoked together to pull a large piece of farming machinery or a large cart or a prairie schooner across the prairies. We recognize that, so they made a yoke out of wood so that the young bullock would work with the old bullock and the old would teach the young, or the two old fellas together would pull this great burden across the vastness of the plains and the prairies of this country. And so we know what a yoke is. Now Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke on you. He wears a yoke, and it's as if he says, I want you to pull in the same direction I'm pulling. I want you to pull the burdens with me. I want you to understand I will bear your burden. I will share your burden. What is your burden? What is your burden? Well, I know that everybody has their own burden, and I know it differs significantly from everyone else. And yet there is a commonality about burdens. Usually they are heavy. Usually they are awkward. And usually we'd rather be without them. But if you will recognize the burdens, I think if one of my three children didn't love the Lord Jesus, that would be a burden. I wouldn't cease to pray for them, but my prayers would be a burden. As it is, the three children that the Lord has given us as a heritage, these three dear people are so dear to us that there is no burden at all, and we are blessed beyond measure with them. So take the yoke of the Lord Jesus. Take the law of the Saviour with you. As husbands, take the laws that are not grievous to a wife, for it is her ambition to obey you. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, let me come unto thee upon the water. This is from Matthew 14 and 28. It was the middle of the night, and Peter thought this was an apparition that was on the water. Jesus said, you come to me then. And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water towards Jesus. He could do that. Of course, the moment he realized the wind was howling and he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus and he realized he was walking on water, which is a physical impossibility, he panicked. And the moment he panicked, he started to sink. Lord, he cried, save me. Well, he took on the yoke of Jesus. Of course he would be saved. Jesus lifted him up. Now, are you lifted up day by day, moment by moment, kept in his love? When you want to fall down, it is Jesus that helps you to stand up. The commandments of the Lord Jesus are very, very wonderful because Christians obey these commandments out of the principle of love. If you go to Isaiah and chapter 56 and verse 6, you will read these words, the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. Nothing is grievous to him who loves the name of the Lord. Do you love the name of Jesus? Do you love the person of Jesus? Do you love the resurrected person of Jesus? He is not dead, you know. He lives. He lives forever in our hearts. He lives in heaven this very day. Jesus lives. And he's always making intercession for us. Always. You see, to obey is out of the principle of love. I was not well, and my daughter phoned my wife. And she said, is Daddy going to the hospital? Yes. She was told, oh, right, then I'll be there. Nobody asked her to come, but there was the prompting of the Spirit of Christ to be with her mother, to comfort her mother whilst I was in the hospital. And she came and she met my wife at the hospital. It was so important to her to be in the presence. Why? Because she loved Jesus first and she loved her parents second, and she loves us. It's a principle of love, a principle of love. There was a little boy sitting on the curb of a slummy road in London. The little church that I had become the pastor of had been smashed by a bomb, and all we had was a heap of rubble and a back room that sort of was hanging together, and that's where we held our meetings. And I was walking up the road and saw this little boy pouring rain, just pouring down on top of him, and he didn't have too many clothes on, and he was sitting there crying. I went up to him. I said, come, let me help you. No, he wasn't going to come with me. So I sat beside him on the curbstone, and I said, you know, Jesus loves you. Then why am I sitting in the rain? Because Jesus sent me to rescue you so you can come into our meeting hall and be dry and have something warm to drink and to eat. I haven't eaten for 2 days, he cried. He was about 12 years old. After I took him into the church and talked with him, he thawed out and he started to appreciate the fact that somebody cared. Because somebody cared, I was able to ask him, well, where are your parents? They're at the house, but they were always fighting. I ran away yesterday. I didn't want to listen to all the fighting. So I said, well, you come with me and show me where you live. And so down we went together, and I held his hand. I said, you don't have to be frightened. I'm holding your hand. I don't suppose your dad's any bigger than me, and we're fine. We're fine. You don't have to be frightened. When I got to the door hardly opened, and an arm reached out to grab the child, and I said, you can't have the child. I'm looking after him, and I've promised him you won't hurt him. And so you come and open the door properly and have a conversation with me. And we talked about the conditions of the home. We talked about the conditions of the parents. We talked about the condition of this boy. There was something that took over and took off. And they started to listen to the word of God. Later, years later, the boy happened to come by. And he said, do you remember that day? And it was a glorious day to see him doing so well in spite of his background. We do things out of the principle of love. The Apostle Paul took the word of God to all sorts of places because he loved the people. And men and women today take the word of God throughout the world because they love the Lord Jesus Christ first, and they love the people second. Here is another thing. The Christian is carried on by the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice in Romans and chapter 8 and verse 26, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. There are sometimes when the preacher feels very ill. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones used to say to us young preachers, when you feel ill like that, go and preach, and preach yourself to health. We need to understand that we are carried by the Holy Spirit. The help of the Holy Spirit is massive. And notice also in Philippians 2:13 that the Holy Spirit is with us both to will and to do His good pleasure. There's no grief in what we do. We're not to give up. We're not to put on. We're just to come to Jesus with all the opportunities that God places in front of us. The Spirit lifteth me up, says Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 1. The Spirit lifteth me up. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. The heart is heavenly when the Spirit lifts our hearts up. Is your heart lifted up? I know. Maybe there's someone you have to go and talk to. And the Holy Spirit's been prompting you for a long time to go and do something about this person or whatever it is. And you've procrastinated and deliberately ducked out and not wanted to face the issue. Now face the issue, dear friend, and go and speak to the person. And you will find the Holy Spirit's already been there preparing their heart. Then there's a fifth thing that I would leave with you. All of Christ's commands are beneficial. Here are two beautiful verses that we discover in the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 10 and verses 12 through 13, and how, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to love him, to keep his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's an old hymn tune. How precious it is to obey the Lord Jesus. How precious it is to be an obedient person. To obey is not so much duty as privilege. It's a privilege to obey the commands of our Lord Jesus. When he says, come here, we come. When he says, go there, we go. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Jim Elliot wrote a little appendage to that. He wrote this. He said he did not say, come back. Can you so equip yourself and so abandon yourself to your travels so that you can go into all the world and preach the gospel? You see, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, the apostle says, I take pleasure in infinities, in persecutions. I take pleasure in people despising me, not liking me, spitting upon me, mocking me. I take pleasure in those things because I know that Jesus suffered before I did. And if he suffered, how much more shall the servant suffer? I can't be without the suffering. And here is a sixth thing that I want to share with you. It is honorable to be under Christ's commands. Honorable. If the officer leading a troop of men is an honorable man, the men like to serve him, and they would go anywhere and do anything for him because he is an honorable man. Do you have honor in your household? Do you have honor amongst yourselves? Speaking of wisdom, the writer to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 9 says, and he calls wisdom she shall give thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Let God do the honours with accolades. Don't receive the honour of men. It's too trite, too shallow, it's too spasmodic to be bothered with. But receive the honour of God. When you have obeyed the Lord, you will have developed a certain wisdom. And the wisdom is in the command of following Christ. It doesn't matter how you follow him, so long as you are obedient to his commands. One day, I said to my wife, though it was going to make me late for the meeting I was to be speaking at, I said, we have to go to the house first. What for? She said. I said, we have to go to the house. I don't know what for. And so we went to the house. My son had badly burned his hand and his forearm, and he was standing at the sink trying to cool off the burning with the cold water. We had to be obedient to the Spirit of God that sent us into that place. There was another time I had to go to this person's house. Now, I didn't know why, but I knew exactly that I had to go to the house. So I went. When I got there, I found that there was a disaster happening, and I was able to help the people through their disaster. It's interesting. One day, driving, I had been gone from the town in which I had lived. I was now living in California, some 700 miles away, and I knew that I had to go back to that church. And so I told the necessary people, the church I was at in California, I said, I'll be 3 or 4 days, but I'll be back. And off I went. And as I was driving along the freeway, almost to the town that I had to visit, a friend of mine was standing on the side of the road with his car, and he waved me down. And I said, well, how did you know I was coming? Oh, he said, I didn't really know, but it seemed to me that the Holy Spirit said to me to meet you here today. And so I came, and I said the same thing, more or less. We met. It was a great rejoicing. Another time, I phoned my daughter, and I couldn't find her. She didn't answer the phone, and I wondered what had happened. And I phoned her husband's parents, who lived on the same ranch, and they didn't seem to know very much at all, but they were looking after the children. And I just knew there was something very wrong. I asked the Lord, what do I do? And there was a fellow in our congregation who had a little aeroplane, and I said, will you run me to this place in Oregon? And he said, of course. And so we flew to Oregon. On the way here, we telephoned and made contact with some people that I knew in the town. This lady said, the car will be there, gassed up, and with the key in it, you just drive it and put it back there when you finish. So that's exactly what I did. But then I drove into the town, and I really didn't know where I was going for lots of moments. But as I was going along the road, here was our doctor, that had been our doctor when we lived there, walking along the road. And he said, what are you doing here? Oh, I know. You've come to see your daughter. And I said, yes, not knowing what in the world this was all about. He said, well, we saved her life, just. You go up to the hospital now. She needs you. And we went up to the hospital, and there she was, a very sick young lady, but very soon she was going to be well. Do you agree to the prompting of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit leading you in such times and places like that? Many things in a man's life come that way. You see, the gospel is the command that is absolutely finite. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus sweetens our lives with joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Before the gospel, David came before the Lord, and Psalm 51 was written, wash me that I shall be white as snow, create within me a clean heart, O God. And since the gospel, millions have come to new lives in Christ Jesus. Well, I must stop now, and I must say to you, trust this Lord Jesus. Listen to his commands. Read the commands that he's given in the scripture. Not one is grievous. Not one you cannot keep. Love him. Follow him all the days of your life. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, grant us the ability to be obedient and follow you, obedient and rejoice in you, obedient and be satisfied that your grace is always sufficient day by day. Bless these people that are the saints for Jesus, for we ask it all in his name and his name alone. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless.